Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address nsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
I'd like you to turn your Bibles. There are two scriptures we're reading this morning again. We're going to read 2 Timothy that we have been reading, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. And we're going to read continuously from verse 14 up to verse 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 14, we'll read it up to verse 26. We're going to read deliberately and yet slowly for several issues that we need to catch so that what God wants to prepare us for, we don't miss it, and we don't miss out on it by the grace of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're reading verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Let's go to 2 Timothy one more time, chapter 3. Come along to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Maybe I should read from verse 12 to 16. Yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. May the Lord bring increase to his word as we study together this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm dealing with prepared for kingdom exploit. Yesterday, I took a little time to look at the biographical sketch of Daniel. I spent quite a long time looking at the necessary prerequisite qualification that a young man must have in order to fit into the divine purposes of God for his life or for her life. I began by noting that we don't expect you to do kingdom exploits if you are already exploited. If you are already exploited by your circumstances, you may never be able to rise to bring any exploits to your generation. So, I spent time dealing with the fact that it is not ordinary that you must be young. I said to be young is not just a mere thing. It is a very, very critical segment that you need in order to be fitted onto a future that God has for you. And being young is a privilege that you only have once. And even if you are going to bear the yoke of divine disciplinary dealings that fits you for what God is desiring you to be for him in the coming days, it is only now that all such preparation can be made. So, I began by noting that the urgency of maximizing your youth is because It is only in this segment of your life that any preparation for a greater future for you can be made. If this segment is omitted or wasted, any other help that anybody is bringing to your life will only be remedial. I want to make that again clear. I want you to rise from this meeting with an understanding that my youth, the segment of my youth, is a deliberate segment, not just as a passage of time. Tell somebody by your side that you are not just passing time. You are young for a purpose. You see, don't let the years of your youth, don't let them miss the purpose why they were given to you. The years of a man's youth, they are the critical years that God uses to lay foundation for the destiny for which they were born. The segment of the youth is not just a passage of time or a passage of years. Unfortunately, many, many people were only growing through the youthful years and they did nothing with it. All such people that treated their youthful years as a mere passage of time. Whereas, I congratulate every man every time when they want to celebrate birthdays. I used to celebrate birthday with people, even though I really never see when I will celebrate my own. And you know what was the issue? Every time you celebrate a birthday, there's only one question that God is asking you. How old are you? How old are you? Do you know the meaning of that? How many of your youthful years have you consumed? And how many of your usable years remain? To begin to bring out birthday cake just because you are 21, you are 22, you are 25 is unreasonable. We don't celebrate passage of years. We only celebrate purposefulness of our years. You will be asking, I am going to be 21. So, in 21 years, what has 21 years of my life accomplished in the line of the reason why I was born? The years of your youth, they are not just years to pass through. they are years to maximize. Because if the purpose for being young is not accomplished, your reason for growing old will be useless. Are you hearing me? Old age will be cumbersome for you if you wasted your years of the youth, which is the critical years for the purpose of preparing for your future, the purpose of training for your future, the purpose of your being set for your future, which was meant for the purpose of laying the underlying structure for your outward performance in the coming days. So, brother, sister, let me tell you, the reason why I'm looking very tense is that you are at a very, very critical segment of your years that will define what you will ever be in many days to come. Those who are no more young, listen to me, those who are no more young and they have not laid a proper structure for the performance that they were meant to accomplish in their lifetime, they are unfortunate. The reason is because the years of the youth that is meant for such a purpose has been lost, and they cannot recover it. Are you with me? Can I tell you, you can only be 21 once. There are many things that you can only be once. You can no longer. If you are now 22, you can never be 21 again. That is finished. There is no winding back. Many people think that the youthful years are the playful years. So when a young man is playing away with his life, people that don't understand, they say, leave him alone, he's still young. They don't know that those who engage their years, their youthful years, as playful years, they will spend their own age as tearful years. Play now, weep tomorrow. Tell somebody, play now and weep tomorrow. Work hard now and you will laugh tomorrow. And because this segment we cannot recover if it is lost. And all that it can achieve when it is not achieved can never be achieved again. It becomes critical. Critical to engage your youthful years with a purpose. You must engage your earlier years of life with a clarity of purpose. So this is why the most critical thing to do now that you are young are the issues that I sense God is confronting you with. And I really want to pray with you that you will be wise. I want to pray with you, Lord, make me wise. Make me wise. Help me to engage my youthful years with intensity of purpose. So that my older years will not be years of struggle, will not be years of tears, will not be years of regrets. The book of Proverbs made a declaration. Let me see whether I can find it very quickly. The book of Proverbs, there was a declaration. Proverbs 23, verse 18. Proverbs 23 and verse 18. For surely, King James said, for surely, there is an end. And your expectation shall not be cut off. But if somebody will get it from me, maybe from Living Bible, or from NIV, or from Good News, can somebody quickly read Proverbs 23? NLT. A prof?
For surely.
You have a future ahead of you.
Your hope will not be
suffering. For surely you have a future ahead of you. We can't say that to everybody. We can say that to those that have squandered all their opportunity. Now, yesterday when that play was going on, when the drama was going on, and Debbie, you don't understand. When she had already, by mistake, because she wanted to abort, she destroyed her womb. And they had to take away the womb so that at least she can live. Let me ask you now. Can you tell that girl, surely there's a future ahead of you in raising a family? Talk to me. There's no future. So when the boys, even those who claim to be Christian brothers, who say the Spirit led them to ask for a hand in marriage, when she opened up and said, look, oh, I made a mistake. And my womb was ruptured. And I was bleeding. So doctor had to evacuate my womb. So as you see me here, good looking on the face, empty inside, beautiful appearance, rottenness inside. Can you still go on with me for our future? The young man looked at her and said, me and you? You have no future, I have a future. Where will I be casting my seed? To an empty can? No way. According to her, this is number 6. If she lives longer, she will have more than 25 disappointments. Well, she may get married to someone who is a widower, who has finished having children, who does not need children again, and who is just looking for a woman to be cooking for him. Whatever house they had, she will forever be a tenant. You know why? If the husband should die, his children will come. What will they do? They will chase her out. Young man, don't, I'm warning you, don't squander your youthful years, because there lies your future. It is a terrible thing to be hopeless. You know the meaning of hope. Hope is that there is something in the future that you are looking forward to. Hope is a great thing. Hope makes a man to be strong. Hope makes a man at least to have hope. But when you come to a situation in life where there is nothing to look up to, where there is no future to expect, where there is no hope for any change, when you become hopeless, you become helpless. Surely, there is a future ahead of you. And it is you that have that opportunity. So the first equipment in preparing you to do exploits is your youthful years. That's the first thing I'm noting with you again. Hallelujah. Your first divine endowment is your youthful years that set a future ahead of you. So, what must you do if you are preparing to do exploits in your generation for God? Preserve your youthful years. Tell somebody by your side, your youthful years is God's investment for you. Don't squander it. If I put it in the language of a businessman, your youthful years is your capital. This is your capital. Woe unto a businessman who squanders his capital. What will happen to his business? He will go bankrupt. And he will never, in fact, he will be forever a debtor. Because he has done what? Squandered his capital. May I tell you? Your youthful years are your capital. You are in your capital account now. Let me tell you. What will you reap in the future? They will only be the profit. They will only be the, yes, the what we call, what do you call profit in business? Eh? The returns. Those who invested in shares, when shares was very wonderful. You know what happens? When they enter into retirement age, all the dividends from their share investment will just be coming. They will just be collecting money. They will just be eating. People say, this man, he has money. He say, when you were eating your own capital, I invested my own. Your youthful years, what did I call it? They are your capital. This is your capital account. When you invest your capital and you manage it, when it begins to bring dividends, then you settle down to eat. Tell somebody on my behalf. I wanted to tell him on my behalf. I said, Brad Billy said I should tell you. Don't eat your capital. Don't eat your capital. Your youthful years is God's capital endowment for your destiny. There is no other time that can be capital. Even those of us who, by the grace of God, we are not yet very old, so we still have some years that we can invest as capital investment, because we are expecting some dividend in 20 years' time. Thank God. You still have some capital. But let me tell you, my own capital is not like yours. Your own capital as a younger person is more robust than my own. The only reason why you will not see anything wrong with me is the fact that I had invested capital. But I want to inform you, brothers and sisters, listen, I'm being very, very simple this morning again. Before I draw your attention to a few words, there are a few words I'm going to be guiding you with, but you need to understand this. The level of investment of a man's capital in his youth is what defines the scope of his relevance in his older years. Are you getting me? Sometimes I'm looking back and I'm saying, could I have invested my youthful years much more than I did? the boundary of my life today may not have been this present boundary. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You may see a man that is doing well, but heaven says, if only he invested the capital we gave him fully, he could have done better. So this moment, you having almost 100% of your capital in your hand, you must invest it. Invest it. Invest it now. When I came on that scripture that says it is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. When I came on that scripture, and I came on it many years ago, I even composed a song for myself there. I was still young then. When I came on it and I took a decision, I said, I will serve my Jesus now that I am yours. I will serve my Jesus now that I am young. Hallelujah. Serve my Jesus now that I am young. I will serve my Jesus, now that I am young. I came at that. And I said, Lord, now that I'm young, I will invest. I will invest. And as I'm looking back, I say, Lord, have I invested properly and fully my capital? Is there something I could have invested better and I didn't do? And if there's such a thing, everyone can only say, well, sorry, you can't do that again. Just make do with what remains. So, let's follow me quickly. Do you know that God commissioned Joshua when he was young? Actually, they described Joshua. They said, one of the young men that Moses had. He was one of the young men that Moses had. And thank God. Listen, I'm saying thank God because as a young man, Moses picked Joshua for discipleship. Moses concentrated on Joshua. Everywhere he was going, Joshua went with him. By the time they were to go and spy the land, Joshua was a young man. When they came back, and other people say, no, we're like grasshopper, we can't go. Joshua and Caleb said, let us go up at once. The strength of the youth, the zeal of the youth, these are all capital. Don't think, let me tell you, do you know that only the young man, only the youthful years, can somebody have undying zeal? Let me tell you, it's only when a man is young that he has the spirit of adventure, a desire to venture into something. It's only in your youth. It's only when you are a young person that you have desire for exploration. I'm telling you now. When you grow older, reason outweighs your zeal. Something that a young man will say, let us stand up and go and do. An old man say, let us think about it. Are you hearing me? Something that a young man says, yes, it is possible. Do you know why? A young man says, even if I fail, I can stand up and do it again. The older man says, if I should fail, where will I get strength to do it again? Let us never do anything until we are sure. Procrastination is a manifestation of old age. The reason is because the older person is analyzing from the weight of many, many, many years of experiences and things. They say, we can't try it. The reason is because he has passed that stage. Momentum to move is only available when? In the youthful years. When these years of your youth are finished, momentum, that is, capacity for motion, reduces. So, what you have not penetrated as a young man, setting up, you know, a kind of velocity for your life, when you are old, you can't do it again. In fact, when I see older men who are still taking fresh initiative, I really salute them. I used to thank God for them. There are not too many of such. If you see a man that is old and is having zeal to start something fresh, I love to congratulate them, because they are very rare. So when Joshua had the opportunity, and it was a great opportunity, to climb to the mount, to be with God under Moses, to learn all the spiritual principles, Can I explain something to you that maybe you may not appreciate? I don't compare Aaron with Joshua at all. Honestly speaking. Whatever Aaron did, what do you expect? He was many years older than Moses. Are you hearing me? When Moses is climbing mountain, did you ever see Aaron saying, "Let me climb"? The reason is because by the time we are talking about Moses carrying this ministry, he was 80 years of age. Aaron was 84. What kept Moses running that we didn't see that his voice abated was not what he got at 80. It was what happened to him when? At 40. Something happened to him which he caught, which he never allowed to die. That was the vision why he did not become Pharaoh. So he can say, "No, why I left the palace? I will not die until I fulfill it." Mm-hmm. But Aaron, when he was 40, he didn't catch anything. When he was 60, he didn't catch anything. Actually, it was when he was 84, and God didn't have great any good thing, any much for him. It was simply because Moses said, "Lord, send someone else. I cannot speak." God say, "How can you say? Am I not the one who created the mouth? I will be with your mouth." He said, That was when God said, "Okay, is Aaron not your brother? He will come and greet you now. When he greets you, he will become your mouth." He never saw the burning bush. He never went to the mount. Even when Moses climbed to the mount, he was always down here. So when the people asked him, "Show us the God, we don't see this Moses again, we don't know what has happened to him," Aaron said, "Well, bring me your earrings and your necklaces." When he collected it, he cast it into fire, and then he produced a calf, an idol. He said, "These are your gods, O Israel." Why did he do that? If a man was not caught young, if you don't develop momentum now, I can't imagine how far you will run before you will drop out. But you see, for Joshua, when he took over, he was young. God said, "Wherever the sole of your feet shall step upon, I have given you." But by the time you come to chapter 13 of the book of Joshua, God said to Joshua, "Joshua, you are old." And there are very much land to be possessed, but you are old. You are exhausted. You can't go on. You are finished. What can you do now? He now sat down to divide unconquered lands to people. But you see, when he was younger, what God told him is that everywhere the sole of your feet shall step upon, you get it. And you will divide this land unto the people. He was to divide a conquered territory to people. But now he was too old. He can't do it. So what am I saying to you in preparing you for your own destiny. 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3. They will bring you very, very deliberate instructions. Quick instructions. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 14. 14. Every verse there, up to verse 26, they are important. That's why I couldn't stop reading them. Up to chapter 3, from verse 12 to verse 17, all of them are critical. If I were to be explaining them one by one, we can't finish. So I'm going to be mentioning them. Is that okay? If I sense I should explain some, I will wait there. Are you in verse 14, chapter 2? He said, of these things, put them in remembrance. We need to keep reminding you of some things. Very important. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Who reads that for me from another version? NLT, what does it say? Verse 14. Or Message. Who reads? Quickly.
Remind everyone about these things.
Yes.
And command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless, and they can ruin those who hear them.
That's number one. Don't engage your youthful years over empty arguments. They are of no profit. Don't let people engage the most profitable years of your life in useless, empty words, empty arguments that does not profit and does not position you for greatness. It only scatters you. The Bible says, what does it do to those who are hearing it? It only subverts. Subverting the hearers. And one of the things the devil uses to divert the attention of young people is to engage them in useless chatter. For example, if I ask you, some of you, you are used to what you call chatting. How many of you understand what it means to chat? Alright. Now, can you check how much time that you use in chatting? And can you ask yourself, what are we chatting about? Do you know sometimes you are in the lecture hall and your telephone, your Android, the lecturer thought he is teaching somebody. He does not know that you have chatted away. You are chatting. The other guy on the other side, oh boy, how's your nose? How's your nose this morning? He's chatting. And you're going to return that chat. And that, how about yours? What are you smelling? You see, you can do that for a whole day. it does not in any way enhance your journey. I wish the technology that has come to the young people, I wish you know how to engage it for a proper purpose. I wish the young man you are chatting with is an expert in mathematics, and you decided to post, you know, an equation and say, you know, I've been struggling with this equation since yesterday night. Can you give me a clue to it? I wish that was what you were chatting about. Those who must engage their useful years as a capital investment for the dividend they are hoping for the Bible says, for surely there is a future ahead of you. There's a future. But you see, that future, it can be glorious. But that future can be a regret, depending on what you invest now. So that scripture says, I should charge you as a young man. I should charge you before the Lord that you do not engage about words to no profit. It only subverts those who are so engaged in hearing it. I go away from them. So for me as a young man, every day must count. Hallelujah. Before you do your next birthday, are you getting me? What your birthday should be is a celebration of an achievement. Stop counting empty years. Don't just celebrate that you have grown older. What you don't know is that when you say, I have grown older, you don't understand. Can I tell you the meaning of that? When you grow older, your years of opportunity are shorter. That's what it means. When Jacob, as a young man, can you imagine Jacob? As a young man, God encountered him. He saw a ladder, but he did not care about that. He still went as if God did not meet him. And now, just to marry a girl, are you hearing me? They married his own mother, Rebecca, the mother of Jacob. Was married from that family. It didn't take 3 days. For the servant they sent to carry the woman back to Isaac. It didn't take 3 days. But for Jacob, a man who does not know how to invest the capital of his life, he saw Rachel coming to fetch water. He fell in love. Love at sight. Didn't know what is in Rachel. Just saw her. I thought he was tired. Everybody is waiting so that they will roll away the stone before they can fetch water from this well. But Jacob, as soon as he saw Rachel, he lifted up his eyes and started weeping. I said, what is making a young, strong man to weep? Just because he saw a girl. Then he stood up What about 10 people would have done to roll away the stone? He alone. What did he do? He rolled it. He alone fetched water and fed all the animals. For whom was he doing that? For a girl. This is what he never did for his own life. Some of you, you have not maximized your capacity on your academic. But since you started chasing a girl, you helped the girl to copy her notes. You are helping her to type her project. And when you finish, you say, just to show that I love you. How many young guys have not paid their own school fees? But they put it in an envelope to give a girl. They are always hanging out around a girl. So, at old age, when Jacob was not like this, and he now came before Pharaoh, very, very scattered. You know the question Pharaoh asked him? He was just to greet Pharaoh. And instead of Pharaoh to say, "Welcome, sir," the man just looked straight and said, "How old are you?" What a terrible question. How old are you? How are you that you are scattered like this? And the man knew that the man was not asking for his chronological age. Jacob said, "I'm not yet as old as my father's. My own father, he was strong. He lived many years. My years are not. My years are few, but they are full of trouble. Who put that trouble?" When he started telling the story of his years, oh my God. Let me not go there because we don't have time. How did his life be like that? A wife he could have married in 3 days. He offered. It is himself. Oh, it's not that the people ask. They didn't ask. It was not a demand. It was the one who said for her, for Rachel, "I will serve you 7 years." 7 solid years of his capital. Do you know that when you consume 7 years of your youthful years, there's nowhere you can replace it? 7 years when you are 20s, are you hearing me? Is more important than 7 years when you are 50s. Go and mark it. Your years, let's say 7 years in between 20 and 27, is more critical to your life than 7 years when you are 50 to 57. The 7 years in your 20s, they are years of capacity. Years for development, years for investment. The 7 years when you are in your 50s, they are your years of depletion. I'm telling you the truth. If you get application now at 57 and you apply for a job, will any serious company give you a job at 57? Talk to me, please. You know the question in the mind of employers. Who is going to inherit heavy gratuity on this man. He is a liability. How can we employ him at 57 and at 62 he will be ready to retire? And he will be asking us now for retirement pension. No way. No one will do it. So you can't afford to engage years of your youth in a useless venture. This brother put 14 years, after the first 7 years, thinking they would give him richer, they just packaged Leah and gave him. If he was a reasonable man, you already got Leah. What is the reason for saying you must again put another 7 years to marry Rachel, knowing the problem of a polygamous marriage? He didn't think. He said, well, I love Rachel, and that's when I want to marry. Even if it takes another 7 years, I'm ready to wait. To wait. To wait for what? Hey, sister? To wait for what? What will that do to your life? But he doesn't mind. 14 years. And in all those years, Leah was delivering children. Rachel had none. God deliberately closed that girl's womb because that girl is not part of his destiny. In the plan of God, Leah was the woman that God wanted to use to perpetuate the seed of the covenant, not Rachel. For self-will, emotional love, sentimental consideration. So what am I saying to you? Your destiny is too serious than for you to put it on sentiment. Don't waste your youthful years on mere what? Sentiment. Don't keep doing things because I don't want him to feel bad. Excuse me. Nobody feels bad forever. I want to tell you. Can I tell you? Feeling is fleeting. What did I say? Feeling is fleeting. Feeling is not permanent. You feel good now, you feel bad. You feel high, you feel low. Feelings are ordinary feelings. Feelings are not tangible enough as to engage your capital years. Go beyond the realm of sentiments and ask genuine question. What will this mean in my destiny? Do you understand? There are some people that don't feel good about me. I say it's alright. Honestly speaking, I'm not expecting you to feel good about me all the time. I don't expect. I don't live on people's feelings. I'm pursuing my life on the line of God's will for me. That's what I'm doing. As you see me like this. Sometimes you may feel nice. I feel good about Bradley. It doesn't affect me. Because as you feel good about me now, the wind may blow and you feel bad about me. Will I be running up and down? No. I'm on a journey. Please keep your feeling. It's true. Keep it. Keep it. So you don't allow your life to be robbed, to be disrupted, to be distracted, just because somebody is feeling somehow. Every feeling, I say, is fleeting, not permanent. You can't even tie it. Can you record for me how you felt in the morning? Can you produce it? You can't. Feeling is fleeting. You felt like that in the morning, it has gone. You know, there are times you really feel good about something, and in the night, you want to repeat that feeling. Did it come back? No, it has gone. You don't live on feelings, brother. The Lord will help you in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 15. You know, I told you, I'm just mentioning because of my space of time. Verse 15. What does verse 15 say? Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly doing what? Dividing the word of truth. Other version will say, be diligent. Another version will say, work hard. Is there anything, is there a version like that? Shimani, read it quickly. You see, work hard so that you can present yourself to God in order to win His approval. I found that those who are prepared by God to do exploits, they were not people who are loose, who are undecided. Paul was telling Timothy, Timothy, you're a young man. Let nobody despise your youth. He told him in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12, let nobody despise your youth. Now he's telling him again here. He said, Timothy, work hard to show yourself unto God approved. Let me tell you something that I really pray God will place in your mind. I want you to know that when God approves you, nobody can disapprove you. I want you to know that if God be for us, no one can be against you. I want you to know that every good thing and every perfect gift comes from where? From above. And that a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from heaven. So which means, for everything that will be very authentic and will be lasting in your life, where will you get it from? You get it from God, from above. So if every good gift comes from God, if every perfect gift, if everything that anybody can do on earth will come from God, where should I seek to win approval? That's where I should. So, that's taking me to the very important point here. May I tell you something quickly? As a young man, as a young lady, everything that will become of benefit to you will come from God. Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, but a good wife, a prudent wife, is from the Lord. Am I right? Whoso finds a wife, the Bible says, finds a good thing and has obtained favor from God. The Bible says many men will speak big about themselves, But a faithful man who can find, they only come from the Lord. Promotion is neither from the east, from the west, but from the Lord. Did you see that? Now, because everything good that your life will be needed for will come from God, it is important. It is important that you will do your best to be in the good book of the Lord. The Bible says, if the way of a man pleases the Lord, what happens? He even makes his enemies to be at peace with him. Am I communicating with you now? So let me tell you what I'm trying to say here. Do your best to please the Lord. If you please the Lord, it doesn't matter who is displeased with you. If your way pleases the Lord, even your enemies will be at peace with you. God will do it. So can I tell you, instead of struggling to please this one, please this one, please this one, please this one, and that's why your life is scattered, just please the Lord. It will be well with you. You get me? You know, sometimes as a young lady, you are too sensitive to people's comments. People's comments make you to cry too quickly. You know, as a lady, somebody easily makes you cry. If you do something, is that what to do? And before you know it, why are you crying? I don't know what I did the way he shouted at me. I sent him texts since the past 2 days. He didn't even return my text. He didn't return my text. What have I done? What have I done? Cry, cry, cry. What a shame. No. Do you know that men, they are great manipulators? I'm telling you a secret. Men, when they know that you can easily cry, they manipulate it. He says, I know that if I did not return her text, she will cry and she will come begging me. And when you come, say, so what is it that you really want? What do you want? I've told you that I'm sorry. You say, well, I've changed my mind. I'm already thinking of something else. I can't be going with a sister that every time is trying to just make life difficult for me. He said, no, but I said, no, I'm sorry. You that never knelt down to your father, you knelt down for a boyfriend. And then he said, okay, well, I think about it. Okay, what do you want? And then before you know, he said, so what is your atonement offering? And the atonement offering is nothing but sex. He says, okay, if that is what will make you happy, you can do it. Foolish girl. What do you mean by that? You have only one man to please, the Lord. So the Bible says, study. Work hard. Be deliberate to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now again, even if you want to be a preacher, let me tell you, a preacher does not go about begging the audience to hear him. A preacher is not depending on the way the congregation feels. No. When you are a man that has received approval from God, God has approved you. God is the one saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. Whether men like it or not, they will hear you. When I discover that, brother, I don't really care. I don't really care. I only care for one thing. I only care to please the Lord. I only care to win his approval. I only care for God to begin to trust me with his message. When God has put his message in my house, in my mouth, and he has trusted me with his word, men will come. Sometimes they don't like me, but they cannot do without hearing me. Yes. So what do I need to do to win God's approval? So as a young man, when I stumbled at this truth, I knew that I have only one place to focus. I want to please the Lord. Once I read that scripture, say, if a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes his enemy to be at peace with him. I say, hey, I don't go about begging enemies. What do? I focus on pleasing the Lord. And once the Lord is happy with me, everything is okay. In your youthful years, be diligent to win God's approval. Don't let anything stand between you and God. Praise the Lord. When you and God, when you are together in oneness, nothing will stand your way. You will succeed. As a young man, as a young lady, are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? The only thing that will be a danger to you is if your relationship with Jesus has broken secretly. If your walk with the Lord has continued to be steady, you have no problem. So now that you are young, cultivate the Lord. Cultivate a relationship with Jesus. So when we go back to do our Bible study, you know, yesterday in the Bible study, you came to the point where we're dealing with the basic condition for knowing God, isn't it? And we dealt with intense desire and hunger for God. And this is the time you can do that. I want you to be a young man that walks with God. That was what gave Daniel the kind of thing we talked about. That was what made Joseph, even in the house of Potiphar, to be a ruler. They couldn't do anything. In fact, the whole Egypt started looking for him because he maintained a relationship with the Lord. Will you do that, brother? Verse 16. Shun. Everybody say, shun. Yes. What's the meaning of the word shun? Avoid. avoid. But you know, the word shun for me is stronger than just to avoid. It's to do what? What they are carrying as if it's something important. What do you do? That's what God is saying. Shun it. You see, there's nothing painful than when somebody is trying to impress you and you put off your face and say, I'm not impressed. Do you know it pains? And I love to pain the devil like that. You see me? I love him. Oh my God, I thank God for Jesus. You know, I love to, even me, I love to persecute the world system. Sometimes, you know, when we're on campus, some girls, psychedelic girls, they call themselves, they walk, you know, their shoe is like this. And then, you know, they have a particular way of wearing their very short. Show me your body. So, you know, and they will like to do that as if they are very beautiful and important. Are you getting me? Now, why others are saying, You know, when boys are doing like that about girls, the girls feel more good. But when they come near, I do it deliberately. Because the Bible says, shun. Then, if she doesn't go away and decide to engage me in this question, I say, what on earth are you wearing? Did you look yourself in the mirror to see how ugly you appear? Whenever they are coming to where people like us are standing, they avoid. They will go the other road. I don't know. The Bible says you should shun. That means refuse to recognize, refuse to appreciate, refuse to give credence unto those things that the men of the world are presenting. Hey, am I communicating to you at all? Shun profane and vain babblings. Avoid it. Not just ordinarily avoiding it, shun it. Downgrade it. Make it valueless. So that if he thinks it is interesting to you, let him know that you have no interest. But now the Bible talks about vain babblings. Empty, useless chatter. They increase unto more what? Ungodliness. Go with me quickly. You know, we read verse 19 when we came first, the first Sunday, Abby. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are who, that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ do what? Depart. What's the word? Depart. Leave. You saw during the play yesterday, there was one particular scene that I enjoyed much. When Douglas was here and Dorcas came here, You remember how Dorcas came? Eh? When this brother started talking and preaching and all of that, did that conquer Dorcas? Eh? Did you see that instead? What was the Dorcas doing? Dorcas was going to hold him. If he stayed there preaching, why Dorcas is holding him, what will have happened? He will finish. He will fall. He will fall with the Bible on his chest. What did the Bible say? Flee every appearance of evil. So what did Douglas do? What did he do? He started running. He ran. The way I saw him running, I said, yes, this young man wants to be great. There are some times that preaching will not solve the problem. Flee. Flee is what the Bible says. Say, flee fornication. There are certain things that you don't play around. You just flee. If a young man is doing like this, and is getting close on you, what do you do? Just run. Just run. They say, see why you run? Don't worry, I will tell you later. Just run. Yes. Just run. Young man, run. I don't believe you are too strong. Don't test your strength there. Do you have your 2 feet? What do you do with it?
Run.
That's it. Depart. It is not because you are a coward. It's because you are purposeful. Are you hearing me? Don't let them say, she's a coward. And see how she's running. And when he sees a man, she's running. No! You are only wise. Those who did not engage their feet to run, they are on their back today. Run. One of our sisters, when we're on campus, she's reading medicine, and there was this biochemistry professor that makes biochemistry so difficult. No girl ever passes without sleeping with him. So in our fellowship, it's a critical prayer where all biochemistry students who are sisters, we pray and pray and pray and pray. And he normally sends for them turn by turn. So this man has sent for this sister. If you don't go, you fail. If you go and you don't agree, you are in trouble. And the sister said, what do I do? We prayed. Say, when you get there, hold your Bible, carry a tract, don't enter the office. Stand there and say, yes, sir. Hold the door while you are talking to him. And as the discussion will begin, throw him the tract. And if he's advancing towards you, jam the door and run. But you will have left a message for him. We prayed and prayed until God disgraced that man. Very brilliant man, but very wayward. But you know, your own destiny cannot be destroyed by such a useless man. as a young person, don't dare the devil. You will fall into his trap. What do you do?
Run.
Don't be so confident that he may even be a brother, he may be your fellowship president. Don't be so confident as to lock the door and lock the window and say you are talking. No way. No way. Say, bro, let's open this door. Invite another sister, say, join me in the prayer. When two of you are there, whatever is riding on his head will break. And if it doesn't break, run. You hear me? We are talking about this not because you are a coward. It's because you are focused. It's because God is preparing you for great exploits. Hallelujah. Can I tell you the next point? In verse 20, 21. I said this passage for me is critical. I'm just mentioning them. We could have sat down and studied them, but I'm just mentioning them. Determine not to be a mere household utensil. What did I say you should do? Determine not to be a mere utensil in the house. You see, the Bible says in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, there are also of wood, there are of earth. Some are to honor, some are to what? Dishonor. The word dishonor means some are for noble use, some are for ignoble use. At first, I was thinking that, well, somebody has to be something. As if, well, no, everybody doesn't have to be gold. Not everybody can be silver. Somebody has to be a useless something that we use as a washhand basin in the house. But when I read verse 21, I now realize that if you choose under God to be a vessel of gold, if you choose to be a vessel of silver, if you choose to be a vessel, hallelujah, for noble use, there's a space. So I want you to take this, determine not to be a mere vessel. Aim for the highest. Pursue the highest possible in God's purpose. Pursue with all your heart the highest. Don't settle for ordinary things. This is not empty ambition. This is holy aspiration. Did you know that Paul had a holy aspiration? Eh? He said, not that I've already attained, but I'm pressing on. If I may do what? If I may capture the very, very height of why he has captured me. There's a higher ground that God is reserving for you. There's something bigger than what I'm doing here. Praise the Lord. Now, this looks like a big meeting in your eyes, and it's big, isn't it? It's big. It's a big meeting compared with when we first called Student Congress. Eh? When we first attempted a student and youth meeting. They were in a small classroom. And we were only singing.
And when we said, let our student congress, it was wonderful. Some people came and it was good. But as you see me here, in my eyes, in my lip, my eyes, apart from the one I've already seen before, I have seen thousands, thousands, tens of thousands of students in a student congress. And as we were launching the Battle for the Young yesterday, as I was going back, I was talking with our class that there's no amount of Battle for the Young that we can carry from Nigeria here. We have to print Battle for the Young here. And it has to be printed in their hundreds of thousands that will fill the whole of South Africa. And that when next we are going to gather students for a congress, you don't contemplate using this hall. This is too small for us. If you became 5,000, it will not be anything enough for me. If we come to 10,000, it will be nothing big. You need to determine to be your best and to root for the highest. Are we together? Eh? Right now. I don't want to go back to the academics I talked about yesterday, but I really wish that several of you sitting before me now, you will just sit down and say, Lord, because I want to be used of you for exploit, I don't want third class degree. Huh? Did anybody hear me? Why not? The boy that is going to have first class, does he have two heads? Eh? What do you mean? If he only has one head, it means there's nothing big about it. And you have God, whom you call upon and is ready to answer you. Why should you be aiming to be collecting dropout results? You don't need it. Let's agree together that by the grace of God, the highest and the best is for you. Amen. You know, that is nothing. That's what God said. God told the children of Israel, he said, you shall be head and not tail. You will lend unto nations, you will never borrow. You will not be mortgaging your life. God's desire is that they will be their best. I need the best lecturers among you. Am I communicating with you? I need the best of professors among you. I need you to come out with first class honors. Honors. So that when they are scrambling for scholars, they won't consider 2-3 before they pick you. And because you are carrying Christ there, then kingdom exploit will start. If any man therefore purges himself from this, which means you can do so, which means you can deliberately set yourself apart for greatness, for the highest. And your highest is for his glory. That's what you are saying. Lord, I want to be the best, and yet for your glory. Is it possible for that? Is anybody interested in that? God will help us in the name of Jesus. Now finally, if any man therefore purge himself from this,
it shall be a vessel unto honor. So you can be a vessel unto honor. You can be a vessel that God carries, you know, with great care, and say, these are my honorable vessels. Who wants to be a vessel unto honor? Let me see your hand up. You want God to use you for something that befits God as God. Is that what your desire? It's possible. God is going to do it. And I say, you be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. 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 Set apart for holy use. Not only that you are cleansed, but God is keeping you. He's keeping you. You are a treasure in His hands. Sanctified and qualified. The word meet in the Old King James means qualified for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Praise the Lord. Flee youthful lusts. You see, God is talking to a youth, and they are telling him to do what? To flee youthful lusts. Let me explain to you. We don't tell an old man to flee youthful lusts. You know, the truth is that there's nothing again. If you see an old man going to dance inside disco hall until 2 a.m., you just know that he's a confused man. He has no capacity. Nothing more. He has finished. But the youth, there is that. It's a lust. It's a strong desire. And it is youthful. That's what the Bible calls it. Youthful lust. So you see, youthful lust is the danger that faces you in your youthful years. Are you understanding that now? It is the particular weapon the devil puts to destroy the youth. So what does the Bible say you should do to it? Flee. Flee youthful lusts. There are certain things you can engage with your youthful years, and it's not youthful lusts. What are they? What are they? Read the Bible now. Flee also youthful lusts. Instead, do what? Follow righteousness. Can somebody read it for me from other version, please? Yes, Shumani, you still want to read? Verse 22, quickly.
Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust.
Anything that stimulates youthful lust. Run from it. Is that Bible talking clearly? Anything that stimulates youthful lust. What are the things that stimulate youthful lust? Give me an example. TV. Blue films. Some African magic. The Big Brother. You know them. They stimulate youthful lust. Do you know that some fashion designers, when you are looking at fashion designs, you will even see them advertising sexy, sexy, sexy wares. It was deliberately designed to stimulate youthful lusts. What does the Bible say you should do? run away from anything that stimulates youthful lust. The reason, let me tell you why. You are youth. And youthful lust is embedded in you, waiting to be what? Stimulated. So when you come and you give your life to Christ, the first thing that God did was to take away the old nature, the nature of sin. Are you understanding? When He has taken it away, let me tell you now. Now, that is a victory that gives you victory from inside. But the outside you, you need to deal with it, because they are forever wanting to wake up. The lust, they want to stimulate it, they want to blow it up. So what does the Bible say you should do? Run from anything that stimulates it. Are you getting me? Now, as a girl, let me tell you, as a girl, listen. What stimulates a young man? It doesn't take him 5 minutes to be stimulated that he wanted to sleep with you. What he sees. And the things that stimulate him most, your breast area. And your buttocks. It stimulates him so quick. So when you are coming, and your breast is almost exposed, what you don't know is that the young man cannot remove his eyes. You think he's praying, he's not praying no. He's not praying. So sometimes, listen, because he has been stimulated, he wants to give you a hug. You think it's a brotherly hug? No. He will hold you and hold you so tight and not let you go. And before you know it, he's pushing you somewhere. So what do? Run. When you go to buy, listen to me, when you want to buy your own clothes, there is someone else who is designing something to stimulate youthful lust in order to destroy your own future. You will be the one to decide, say, no, I don't like this. This one is too exposed. I don't need it. I am too decent to be walking half naked on the road. No. You don't stimulate. No matter how a brother comes and knocks on you and say, I need to see you quickly. Don't come out with your transparent pajamas. Run away from anything that stimulates. Listen, do you know that some girls, they have suffered incest even from their brothers, your very direct brother, came to grab you. He said, "You are my brother." I said, "No, let's forget that. No. Just let me just do it." And there are girls that are pregnant for their brother. Where will you face now? How will you tell your son that his uncle, your senior brother, is also the father? How will you say that now? You will destroy the psychology of that boy. And this is because you were careless in stimulating youthful lust.
So you see, the Bible is very comprehensive. It gives instruction on how to guard your youthful years, because it's your capital. This is your capital years. It must not be squandered. So he says, run away from anything that stimulates. You didn't intend to misbehave, but you have stimulated it. Don't wake up the devil. Don't tempt the devil. The devil, he will fall for it. Don't do that. Are we together? Don't do that. Don't say, well, I didn't know it will happen. Nobody knows it will happen. It's always an accident. Always. Read on, sir. Read on. You've not finished. Quickly.
Instead,
you see, that's the word I wanted. Because the old King James just used but. But the word is instead. What's the meaning of instead? Yes, to replace. You see, there's no vacuum in nature. Let me tell you the truth now. What did I say? No vacuum in nature. You cannot overcome youthful lust without replacement. It is replacement therapy that God recommended. You can say, no, I don't want to watch TV. And you stay in your room gazing to the sky. You will soon fall down. Because there's no vacuum. There must be a replacement. So what the Bible now says is that run away from anything and everything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, yes sir, instead, what do we do? Instead.
Instead, pursue righteous living. Faithfulness.
Yes.
Love.
And
peace.
That is it. Replacement. 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 Let me tell you now. It is possible that before you came for student congress, you used to have an affair with a young man or with a girl. Now you came here, you say, I surrender. Oh, I surrender. Oh, you surrender it here. It's okay. But let me tell you, the boy will come. He will welcome you and say, welcome. How is the student congress? He will come. And even if you tell him and say, I surrendered you already on the altar. He doesn't understand that. He needs to be replaced. So what will be the replacement for that kind of fellowship you used to have with him is to have a different company. So that when he thinks he will meet you alone, he's meeting you in the company of other sisters where you are singing and reading your Bible. When he comes, when he sees you busy with these other sisters you are reading and all of that, he will first of all sit down waiting to excuse you. When he suddenly discovers that you are not likely to be excused because you are really engrossed and you have found new people that you are moving with, flocking with, very soon, he will not find your company again. Then he will find his way. But if you say, I surrender, and he came, he met you alone. He said, how now? He said, well, you know, I took a decision. He said, which decision? To give my life to Jesus. So what have you been doing before? We have all given our life to Jesus now. You know, we were in the choir. And because he met you alone, he came back again, he saw you alone. You have not replaced him. There's a vacuum. He said, look, these Brother Billy messages that you are going to hear, they are confusing your head. So he will intensify visitation. He will come and come and come until you are tired. And before you know it, something will be saying you have, but don't be hard, don't be difficult. Look at this young man. He's been coming and he's the only one that cares. No, that's the devil. Instead, pursue righteousness. Follow them who call the name of the Lord with a pure heart. That's the replacement. As soon as we finish student congress now, we are going back to our campuses, or you are going back to the cities where you have come from, you must ask, where can I find brothers and sisters with whom I can continue to think like we are thinking here? Do you understand? That's why during your Bible study, I want you to get to make friends, Christians, so that you remind yourselves, don't forget your commitment. And when you get back and you find places where there are discipleship classes, where people are studying the Word of God, you go there. You are creating replacement. When you do that, you will never make it. You will never make a mistake. Avoid all of this, but you must replace. Praise the Lord. Continue in the Word of God. We will take that later on. But I want you to agree with me this morning that being young is a capital, divine investment for the future that is surely ahead of you. And you are going to take these little instructions and say, Lord, I am determined also to be purposeful with my youth. To be purposeful with my youthful years. I don't want to be playful. I want to rather maintain a strong focus on what you can make my life to be. Jesus stands in our midst and said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts for good and not for evil. To give you a future of prosperity, not of confusion. I am planning something good for you. Surely there's a future ahead of you. You are the only one who can say that to. And I really pray that your future will be glorious. That's what Jesus promised. I wish you are able to invest this capital completely to win God's approval on your life. By the time you are reaping the dividend, it will be in their hundredfold. Please stand up as we pray together. I want you to stretch forth your hand to God. I will serve my Jesus now that I am young.
I will serve my Jesus now that I am young. I will serve the Lord, my Jesus, now that I am young. Oh, I will serve my Jesus, oh, now that I am young. Just one more time. My Jesus, now I am young. Oh, I serve my Jesus now that I am young. Pray about that. Just talk to God. Oh Lord Jesus, my youthful years is the capital investment that you have made for my life. I must be purposeful in this. While I'm still young, Lord, purposeful for foundation, for training, for preparation. Lord, I want you to work with my life now that I am young. Now, oh Lord, that I'm young, Holy Spirit, please walk here. Look at what God said. I'm not going to engage in useless chats. I don't want to be chatting if it is not going to be of help to my life. If it is not going to carry me forward, I will not waste my years. This is the time to pursue your training. Lord, train me for greatness. In every way, Lord, I want to pursue you. I want to run after you. I will walk in the light of your will for my life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now that I'm young, now, oh Lord, that I am young, I will serve my Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Every instruction God is laying in your heart, I want you to propose that you will seek to please the Lord. You will seek to win God's approval for your life. Tell God that, Lord, I don't want anything between me and you. I want to win your approval. I want you to be at peace with me. I want my life to be at peace with you. I want to please the Lord for the years I have ahead of me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Can I find out before I pray with you? God said, flee, flee. Run away from everything that stimulates youthful lusts. Maybe you are addicted. Even though you don't want to fail, but you've not known how to replace those things. As we call on God together, please put your hand in the hand of the Lord this moment and say, Lord, my life must not be a waste. This capital, I will invest it in your hand. the zeal I have, the affection I have, I will use it to pursue the Lord, to love Him, to love righteousness, so that the dividends of the years ahead might be the one that brings glory to God and satisfaction to my life. Holy Spirit, please do that. If this morning you are still standing, and yesterday night, in the afternoon yesterday, on Sunday night, the Lord has been coming, but you have not yet recognized that your youthful years is the critical years of your life, meant as your capital investment. You must not squander it. Maybe the devil is already chopping a bit of it. We can stop him today. We can stop that activity and bring what is here and put it in God's hand. I want to pray right now. If anyone is among us yet who is saying, "Oh, but look at me. My youthful years is almost wasted. I should be in school, but now I'm dropped out because of carelessness." And you want God to restore you. You want Jesus to redirect your life, to give you a new beginning. Let me pray with you. Wherever you are, it's your right hand I want now to raise above your head, so I can just talk to God and say, "Father, not this one will be a waste again. Not this one. Thank you." Please raise it above your head. You know, we've been praying, we've been asking God. My own cry is that, how will you go out of here and the enemy will cheat us? No. No. God bless you. Please raise it above your head and permit me to call on God. Whatever the canker ones have eaten, God is going to restore it. God is going to bring it back. Don't worry that the devil thinks he has caught you. No. This meeting is your deliverance. It's your recovery. Thank you. Father, thank you for all these hands that are lifted up again. Thank you that even this morning, you are so passionate about what we become. These youthful years is what you have blessed us with. And the enemy want to quickly chop it. For all the hands that are lifted before you this afternoon, reach out unto them. Put your hand in their hands right now. Cleanse them by the blood of the Lamb. Break the yoke of addiction. Break it in the name of Jesus Christ. This afternoon, Father, work into their lives. Transform their thoughts. Transform their nature. Give them a heart that longs for you. Give them victory. Victory in the name of Jesus. Some of them, they are needing a second touch. Some of them remember one time when you began with them, but they went back. And they are saying, "I need another touch." Lord, give them a second touch. This hour, give them a second touch. In the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, don't let anyone who raised their hand here today, don't let any of them be a casualty. Please, honor this prayer. Honor this prayer. That let the enemy regret over their lives. Let there be a turnaround. And all those who hold them down will break that yoke in the name of Jesus Christ. Create in them a new heart and renew a right spirit within them. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Amen.